Hello again, this is Rural Pastor Tony Alamo. This is part 163 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And we're going to call this program number 265. If you'd like a copy of program number 265, all you need to do is, Sharon will give you four different ways that you can receive it at the end of the program. And the program today is going to be my late wife, Susie. She passed away on April 8th, 1982. But she could say more in just a few minutes than I always told her than I could in a week. And you'll see, you'll hear that very truth before your very ears by reading today. We have some really strong people's testimonies that we have here that they've written in. And we've got some singing. Right now, let's go to the throne of the living God and ask the Lord to anoint outwardly and inwardly this service. Father, open the windows of heaven. You've already anointed Sue very well. And so we baptize. Pray, Lord, that you'll open the hearts and souls of everyone in Radio Land, that they will be able to hear the things, the warnings of the end time, and that they'll be able to hear the message that it'll go into their brain and then trickle down into their hearts and souls, that their souls might be saved in these last days, just before you come back to earth again. Anyone receiving the truth today is receiving the truth right at the end of the line here. They're getting into the kingdom of heaven just under the wire. Lord, let that happen, we ask in Jesus' mighty name, and that the church is strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, you would have heard a mighty roar of an amen if this were done in my church, but this is done right out of my throne room here. I'd like to go into the throne room and pray to the Lord, because he always hears and he always answers. Right now, I did a song. Before I was saved, I saw Mary Alonzo sing this song in a movie called The Student Prince, and I loved it. Even before I was saved, it just, there was something about it that was so touching to me. And so I thought, one of these days I want to sing that song, and I did. Joe Leahy was the arranger, and these are all the musicians at the church that were there. And it's called I'll Walk with God.
Whatever road I may walk along.
Praise the Lord. That's what it is in these last days. Enoch, that was even be well many years before Moses walked with God, and the Lord took him. And Enoch is one of the two witnesses that actually it is Enoch that is the witness, which is two witnesses, because it'll be him and his wife in these last days. And I've been putting my literature, because my testimony is second to none in the Bible, I don't believe. The Apostle Paul and I were saved in a very similar way. And so the Lord told me it's very close to the end, so get this out to everybody. And those that are of the Lord will help you do it, because there's an enormous amount of money that's spent. We've been spending about $120,000, $130,000 a week. And now this week we spent $224,000 to put these to win souls. People say, well, how come you're spending so much money on the gospel? Well, there isn't anything more important in the whole world. What good would it be for me to take $243,000 or $224,000 and just leave it sitting in the bank, and all the people in the world not hear my testimony and not hear the other testimonies of the visions, the dreams, the signs, and the wonders that the Lord has given me down through the years? Then I'd go out to meet God and he'd say, what good was that money that you've left it now, and you could have done this work, you could have won millions of souls. Let me tell you something, there are people all over, everywhere we're running these articles that I've written, people are being saved, and people's lives are being changed from lives of sin to lives that are meaningful, that are spirit-filled lives, people are sure, they're very confident they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And that's one of the things that people have to realize, that the more you read the Bible, the more you're going to see that the things that the Lord said would be happening in the last days would be happening, are happening right before your very eyes. And when you have faith, when you believe, when you see these things happening before your eyes, and you read them in the Bible, then you have peace and confidence that you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You have peace of mind, because no matter if the entire world blows up, you're saved, and you have confidence to know that you're saved, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so what it is that by faith, so it's very important to have faith, because by faith you're saved, and not of yourself, but it's the actual power of God that enters into your heart from his word. He said, my word is spirit and it is life. So when you have faith, confidence, he said also, by faith you're saved, and by doubt you're damned. So if you don't have faith in the Word of God, it's simply because you're not reading the Word of God, and therefore you have no confidence in it, because you haven't read it and then seen the things that he said would happen happening before your very eyes. So read the Word of God and know that it's true. When you really have faith in God, you're saved. And without salvation, without faith, you can't be saved. And therefore, you're miserable. And you're not always rejoicing as the Bible commands you to do. The Bible says, rejoice. And I say again, rejoice. Even though you go through trials and tribulations, even though you're going through character assassination, and people are saying things about you you've never met them, they don't know anything about you, they're just polyparroting what some people that are sent by Satan into the world to try to destroy the actual message that the Lord is telling you people. They're saying all kinds of things about every Christian. Now, if your church is not being persecuted, then you're not Christians. The Bible, Jesus said, everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, character assassination. You'll be thrown in jail and in prison for the gospel. They'll say every kind of lie about you. It's a very important thing for you to know these things so that when they happen, you'll know that the Lord said they would happen. And I have great confidence that I'm going to heaven because the Lord told me I am. And I know that I'm living godly in Christ Jesus. And that's why all the people, there's so many people in the world that have said things about me that are not true. And they said them about Susie, too. They said we had tunnels up on our, that we were hypnotizing people. We're not hypnotizing people. We're just preaching the gospel. And they said we had guns. We have no guns here. I won't even allow a squirt gun on our property or a cat, one of these cat pistols. Our children are not allowed to play with such things as that. And because we know that they'd come in here and do the same thing they did to Waco, saying that because they had guns. If they had guns, because you can't believe anything that the media at large, now there's some good media, but I'm saying the media at large says, they'd say anything about you, and then they build up a case on you, and they come running into your into that place over there. A friend of ours that is a former FBI man, they tried to get him into it. Says, there's no problem, we're just going over there to kill him. They called it a turkey shoot, he said. And I'm sure if you watch some of the atrocities that have been happening with people, hundreds of thousands of people have been put in prison on lies because of overzealous prosecuting attorneys and corrupt judges. And they corrupt the jury through the media. And there's so many people that write me when I say these things. I was just sent a book today. What's the name of that book again? It's about some man that did 12 years, 11 or 12 years in prison. And they let him out. The name of this book, I don't know. I haven't read it yet, but I've read some of the stuff on it. What is it?
Journey Toward Justice.
Journey Toward Justice. The Bible tells us that there's no justice in the secular courts. And they say that there's a separation between church and state. But they don't, the government says that, so they don't want you getting into the government, but they keep coming into churches and destroying them because they're trying to make rules, secular rules, in our churches. In other words, we must accept homosexuals. Well, the Bible says that we're not even supposed to wish sinners Godspeed. We're not even to shake hands with them. We have to separate ourselves. And then you've got a lot of these television programs, Christian television programs, that tell you, oh, we have to forgive the homosexual and all that kind of stuff. We have to love them. But they don't realize, because they're novices, most of them, that love is the keeping of God's commandments. So if we shut them out, then that shows love because it shows to them what is it so miserable to have this door slammed in your face here. What is it going to be like in heaven? And all the other sinners too. We just don't, we want to have a church that is holy. And the Lord in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation tells us to measure people by the word of God. And that isn't us judging them, but it's the Word of God judging them and see if they fit into the church structure. And if they don't fit, he said, put them out with the Gentiles. A Gentile is somebody that doesn't believe the Word of God. Because you become a spiritual Jew once you believe the Word of God. And but anyway, I could go on and on all week and next week, and I've been going on for 42 years now. Going on 43, but we have some testimonials that have come in from our radio program. We have a national or international radio program. We're hitting the entire world with the gospel on radio, on AM, FM, and shortwave. Now in Africa and India, I'm told that that's all they listen to over there because so they like to pick up on the different ministries here in the United States. And so we have some testimonials from both the radio program and the newspapers that I just love to do several hundred programs showing the different emails and the letters and the phone calls that we get from all over the world, from the And here in the United States, we're getting more mail now from the United States than we were getting from Africa and India. So the newspaper articles is what's doing that. Most of the people, a lot of people don't take the gospel literature that we distribute on the streets, but here are the newspapers are going right into their home. And to just give you an idea of how much it costs in Japan, we want to buy the Tokyo paper, we could hit 30 million people in one paper in one day with my testimony track and some of the other articles that I've written, and I've written hundreds of them, but it costs for one time in the Tokyo paper $240,000 for a page ad. And so, you know, you say, well, my God, that's the great price. No, the Lord will honor you greatly. He gives you a hundredfold whatever you give. So, you know, those Japanese people, a lot of them are Buddhists, and you don't want them to be Buddhists. You want to give every one of us a chance. The Lord died for every people, black, white, yellow, red, beige, brown, in every shade other than that. He died for us all, and so we're responsible, he said, for us to take the gospel to the whole world, to every nation, every kindred, every tongue. And we have my testimony track in Chinese. We want to get it into all the different countries. And so help us. We can't do it alone. You know, like one ad alone, $240,000. And we are looking at, we're going to buy USA Today, right after the holidays here, and the Lord willing. And so help us out. And by helping us out with this, you're going to be helping yourself, because the Lord says that that's mercy, witnessing and testifying to people. And mercy begets mercy. In other words, when you're standing before the judgment bar of God, the Lord will say, you had all this money in the bank, and you just let it sit there because it satisfied your soul. But if you wanted to get into the kingdom of heaven, you have to satisfy my soul, the living God that created you and all these people. And you had no mercy for them, and therefore I have to send you away. I'm sorry. And you'll be cast down into the place that the Bible says you'll be cast down. I didn't make this up. And God is not using fear tactics. He just told people that don't obey him. He says, if you don't fear him, you won't serve him. And so serve the Lord and have mercy so that God can have mercy on you. One of these days you might be stricken with cancer, tuberculosis, or one of your loved ones. Maybe leukemia, all the different diseases and pestilences, and somebody might be trying to murder you or something. And if you have mercy, God will make a way for you. I'm telling you, this is the truth. I've seen this happen with me so many times. You don't have to be a fantastic preacher or a scribe or teacher, but the main thing that the Lord wants is that you open your heart towards the people in this world, because you can see that Satan has gotten such a foothold that it's almost impossible. We have to do a quick work. And we're not just trying to win the 144,000 Jews, but we want to win all our Japanese brothers and sisters, the Chinese brothers and sisters, the Indians, the Latinos, the Norwegians, even the skinheads. These are the people that need to be saved. We don't need to bomb them. What we need to do is to witness to them, and then they'll get saved. Okay? We need some strong testimonies. And I've got one. But right now, let's go ahead and read some of these testimonials. We don't have time much, because Susie's message runs around 40 minutes, something like that. Okay, then what?
Bill and Katie Warwick of Edmond, Oklahoma, have one son named William. He received salvation immediately after reading the difficult mountain literature in the Oklahoma newspaper.
Okay, so we got a stack of letters here, but I want everyone to hear Susie, my late wife Susie, who passed away in 82. To preach this message. So, Lord, I know Susie is seeing this and hearing this, so go ahead, let's hear her.
Catholicism, all the isms, modernism, they're all one and the same. Isn't that right? They're of no value, and none of them have any meaning whatsoever. In the modernistic church movement today, they don't have either any blood for the atonement for sin. Most of them have moved the old-fashioned altar out of the way. It doesn't even exist any longer. And you just go out and you pick a church and you join a church to be socially accepted. I see people do this all the time, but I think the thing that astounds me the most about it is people talk about them just as bad and they're not any more socially accepted after they joined the church than they was before they joined it. So I haven't really been able to see any benefit out of it, other than that maybe they think they're good. But where there is no shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And if you are not born again, you are lost. Thus saith the Lord. You can have your name on every church book from here to eternity. And if you're not born again, you're lost. That's what the Bible says. Jesus commanded you must be born again. When I think about Calvary, how the suffering, the torture, the torment, the looking down upon people's faces and seeing a look of hate and evil as they gathered themselves together like it was a three-ring circus to watch this imposter die. How they laughed and they jeered. And they said, if you're the Son of God, why don't your Father do something for you? When he was so thirsty from hanging there, dying the elements of the earth, and he begged for water. Please, please, just give me water. I'm so thirsty. And they gave him vinegar as a big joke. And they all laughed. And they mocked and they scoffed. Jesus, as well as from the crucifixion, died from a broken heart. When he looked upon the faces of these people that he had done no harm to, that he had brought eternal life to, and to see the hatred and the evilness in them. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you right now, I've looked in those same faces many times.
Amen. Amen.
I meet people and I see people, and that look of hate in their faces. The same hate. The same demonic spirit that despised the body of Jesus Christ and sought to destroy it eternally and everlasting. I've seen that hate look many times on the faces of people. Because I am his kinfolk. I am from the family of God, the household of faith. We are relatives. And it's that same spirit that inhabited the bodies of those people there are the same spirit that the Christian is looking into the face of today that has such hate. Modernism, traditionalism is the most dangerous thing in this world. Many of the modernistic churches across the country today that started out as on fire for God, preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They were persecuted to the ends of the earth. And when a church is not being persecuted, there's something wrong with it. Isn't that right? There's never been one in existence that did a work for God that wasn't persecuted and hated. When there ceases to be persecution, they've moved over into the Pharisee and Sadducee section. There's nothing to be persecuted about. They're not doing anything. They don't take a stand for anything. They don't believe in anything. So what is there to be persecuted about? Today, Communion Sunday, I want Calvary to be a living reality to you this afternoon. I don't want you to reach out and take that little cup of juice and that little piece of matzah and say, well, we do this in our church all the time. I want you first to know that you are born again. Otherwise, you become the same as those who gathered themselves together at the foot of the cross. The Bible warns against us taking communion if there's sin upon our soul. And the Lord told us that you bring damnation into your own souls when you do it. That it's very dangerous. That many are sickly because of this. That many will die in a sleep of lethargy and never make peace with him who died for them. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and to walk among you and to serve you. And when you receive your portion from the Lord, if you are not born again, I want you to be a big enough person to step out of your seat wherever you are and say, I'm not saved, I'm not born again. I will not trample the blood of Jesus under my feet and put him to open shame before a lost and dying world. I'll admit what I am and come down to the altar and be born again. And when they bring your portion to you, just stand and hold it, and then we will all go to the throne of God together and ask our Father, Father, if there is one thing amiss in our lives, anything whatsoever, please, our Lord and our God, wash it away in the blood of your Son, Jesus. If you will stand, the ushers will wait upon you. Let's all go to the throne of God together and ask our Father to forgive us of all sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, our precious Father, Lord, we come so humbly before Thee. Oh, Lord and God, look upon us. Search our hearts and our souls.
Yes, Father.
Lord, if there is sin upon us, oh, wash it away in the blood of Thy Son, Jesus. Oh, Father God, if Thou would heal us, we shall be healed. Oh, God, if Thou would save us, we shall be saved. If Thou would redeem us, O Lord, our God, we shall be redeemed. Oh, Father, touch us, Jesus. Touch us, Jesus. Cleanse us in that same blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. Cleanse us. Forgive us. Give us a new heart and a new soul. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. This is my body that was broken for you. do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood that was shed for you. Take this in remembrance of me.
Hallelujah.
The words of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Brother Tom, when you come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We're reading this afternoon from the book of Proverbs, first chapter, beginning at the 24th verse. Now I want you to listen very closely to these scriptures. You hear so much about God is love and everything is permissible and that people can just do anything and still be all right when they come to die or when the Lord comes. A friend of mine, that is not what God says. You see, man has tried so hard to get away from the truth of God that he's even invented his own Bibles now. And they extract the fear and truth of everything. I'll tell you, any person here this afternoon, and you own anything other than an old King James Version Bible, throw that thing in the fire. Don't put it in the trash because somebody else might get hold of it. Throw it into the fire and burn it. It's the beginning of the end of all truth unto man. Do you know how many times those Bibles have been changed in the last 10 years? They get a little weaker all the time. Every couple of years, there's another change made in them. These doctors of theology, I call them doctors of stupidity. Because if they knew anything, they'd know that the Bible is the Word of God. And that it's dangerous to tamper with God's Word at all. Now, these men tell us that the word fear is reverence. Now that is so foolish that a child, you pick out a small child. Did the angels of the Lord say to Mary, reverence not, take every scripture in the Bible where God has put the word fear and try the word reverence. And you talk about a mumbo-jumbo, but you have got it. So to make it fit, you have to change the rest of the sentence, isn't that right?
Right.
But it doesn't go together.
Right.
So when you take fear out, you put reverence, then you've got to change it completely.
Yeah.
Because even they know that it can't be done. Oh, but dearly beloved, this afternoon, this is the undefiled word of the living God. The kingdom of heaven is filled this evening while you and I are here with our old grandmothers and grandfathers and the old saint that paved a glorious path into eternal everlasting life through Jesus Christ. This was the Bible they lived by. And it's a good one. And if you could look up there this afternoon and see, to me, I can't understand anyone who says they can't understand the Bible. It's the most clearly understood book in the world.
Amen.
You know why? It means just what it says.
Right.
If you try to change it, you're going to get confused. That's where the confusion comes from. Is people try to change it. Now this is God talking to his people. What does God say about love without judgment? Here's what he says. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They even attempt to get out from under that yoke of truth. Because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. But they were looking for something easy. They were looking for a way out. Damnation unto their souls because they did not choose the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof.
Amen.
Despise the counsel of God.
Amen.
Despise his reproof and his rebuke at our wrongdoing. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices.
Amen.
For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Praise the Lord. Now, if there's any person here this afternoon that can take these scriptures and make any other thing out of them than precisely what they say, I would like to see you attempt that. To me, they're very positive and mean precisely what they say. Have we found a means of escape from reality because we do our own choosing. We make our own choices. If it is that we harden our hearts and stiffen our necks and say, well, I don't care. I believe this and I believe that. What has it brought unto us? Has it brought peace with God? And when this life is finalized and it's all over, where will we stand before Him? Because God is not going to change His word at the very last moment. There'll be no such thing. I watch even people who have had a supernatural experience in God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded of the scripture in Noah where God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And you see people in their youth, the younger part of their lives, as the Spirit of God deals with them. As God reaches out His hand of mercy, extends His love and His grace towards them, and beckons unto them by the power of the Holy Spirit, come. Come follow me. Come, let me be your God, and you shall be my child. The people that God was speaking to here are people that had been the children of God. Amen. But the Gentiles have done exactly as the Jews have done. They have become a tradition. They have become a denomination. But they have moved so far into the modernistic, socialistic realm that no longer do they hold the glory of the living God. And there is nothing there. And you see people that have known God at a point, at a time in their lives. And you see them begin to move away from the reliability of His Word into some socially acceptable philosophy or ideal, and begin to replace the authenticity of God in His Word for some theologian's foolishness that can do nothing but bring unto the human soul exactly as these scriptures say it will bring to them. Could you imagine the angel of death hovering over and knowing that your time was ending, that it was all over? Now don't sit out there and say, now sister, let's don't have any scare tactics, because if you're not going to die, then get up and leave, you know. But if you're one of us earthlings, then you're going to make that scene too.
Yes, you will. Amen.
So it isn't scare tactics, it's truth. Amen?
Amen?
And suddenly realize the angel of death is hovering over. And the realization comes, I'm lost. I'm lost. There is a heaven there, and there is hell, and I'm lost. I have no intentions at this time or in any other time in my ministry of making hell anything other than what Jesus said it was.
Amen.
I have no theatrical tricks to be able to hand out to you that might make it more acceptable. But Jesus said it's a place prepared for the devil and his angels.
Amen.
But if you hate Christians, you're going to have it made. There won't be any there.
Amen.
That's one thing you don't have to concern yourself with.
Right.
If you hate the people of God, you'll be in the right place if you make that one.
Yeah.
But I see people that have known Him begin to move themselves into this trend of thinking. You bear in mind that no person backslides overnight. Nobody removes themselves from the hands of God within a few moments, a few days, or a few weeks. But he begins to turn unto his own devices and living unto themselves. And little by little, bit by bit, and piece by piece, they're so far away that no longer is there that dealing of the Holy Spirit. It isn't there any longer. And then suddenly, whether having known or having not known, realize I am dying and I'm lost. And begin to cry out, God, have mercy upon my soul. and hear a voice coming back to you as the voice of many waters, surrounding, terrifying, mocking. God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy, God. He said he would do it.
Amen, he did.
I will mock. And then God would say to us, you remember the time when you was a young man or a young woman? Do you remember the chance that you had in me, but you chose to do what you wanted to do? You didn't choose the fear of the Lord, but you chose to do what you wanted to do. But, oh God, is there not a place of repentance for me? Is there not a place? You passed that milestone back there many paces ago. I dealt with you. I loved you. I send my witnesses unto you. I talked to you in the middle of the night when the world was asleep. And you knew that I was God. You knew me. And I called unto you. I stretched out my hand, but you would not. And now it's all over. It's finalized. It's finished. But oh God. Oh God. They told me, they said, that it was the love of God. And God would point to Calvary and say, there was my love to man. There was my gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life.
Amen.
We cannot obtain eternal life through finding fault with God and his word. We cannot obtain eternal life by choosing what we want to do. But to remember that he is Jehovah, Almighty God, forever and ever and ever and ever, that he changeth not.
Hallelujah.
Not ever will he change or his word,
amen,
for it is written.
Amen.
In closing this afternoon, I want to ask you who have had a born-again experience in Jesus Christ, and you know that you're cold in your soul. You know that you're not exactly where you should be with God. You know it takes a big man or a big woman to say, I've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. And I want everything. I want God's best in my life. I want everything that God has for me. I don't want to take a chance that I could wander into that lethargy. I've never, ever being able to get back to that place in God that I knew. I don't want to ever take that chance. The Bible tells us that when we have made mistakes, that if we're just and willing to admit them, now, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. You may never have another chance from here to eternity to say, "Sister, I've joined a lot of churches, but I'm not sure that I'm born again. And I know that Jesus in His Word commanded that I be born again. And I'm not sure that I ever have been. And I want to make sure that all is well with my soul and God." And if you're a Christian and you feel that you wandered away, that you're not in that place of fellowship and joy that you've known in God, say, "I want to go back. Redeem me, O Lord my God, and I shall be redeemed. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Praise the Lord." And as we stand together, and Tony will sing for us, "There's Room at the Cross for You." The altar is open, and we extend a special invitation to you. Come. Come.
Okay, those of you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all you have to do is say a prayer to Him, and you'll become born again. And you won't have to worry about, you know, at your deathbed, when you're crying out to God to spare you, when He's showing you the very bowels of the pits of hell and the lake of fire, you won't have to worry about Him mocking at you and scoffing at you and doing the things that Susie just said. You will be able to have peace and confidence that your soul is going to be in heaven. So say this prayer now to ensure that your soul will be saved. Say to the Lord, and that you'll be able to be in heaven. And this isn't only it. You have to continue in the Lord to the end. In the Word, you have to read. We have to read the Word of God in order to keep our salvation fresh daily. So say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins from the past. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart. Lord Jesus, wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your Word says so. Your Word says You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know You have heard me, and I know that You have answered me, and I know that I'm saved." And I just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Now, those of you that were born again and that you slid away and you haven't done anything that is a sin unto death, you say the same prayer. Say, tell the Lord how sorry you are that you've drifted away from Him, and get back into the Lord. Get red hot and not lukewarm any longer. And just keep praising and thanking the Lord that for this message from the Lord. This message is a divine message from the Lord. It is Bible prophecy. Now, Sharon, tell everyone how they can receive a copy of program number 265. This is how to have God's life living in you. Program 265.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, now I'm singing Onward, Christian Soldiers.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the battle. See?